hear the Easter gospel, it comes from the gospel of St. Mark, beginning at the 16th chapter, starting at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The writer Anne Lamott once wrote that she didn't have the right personality for Good Friday, for the crucifixion. She said, "I'd like to skip ahead to the resurrection. In fact, I'd like to skip ahead to the resurrection vision of one of the kids in our Sunday school who drew a picture of the Easter bunny outside the tomb. Everlasting life and a basket full of chocolates. Now you're talking. Everlasting life and a basket full of chocolates." Wow, things have really changed since that first Easter morning, when I think the women who went to the tomb would have had baskets, certainly, but those baskets probably were filled with things like herbs, maybe flowers, and ointments or perfumes, because they were coming to prepare the body. And I don't imagine that they were hopping down the trail. I imagine that they were walking with their heads down, and that their step was slow, and that they were walking through tears, because they were coming to anoint this teacher, this friend who they had loved. And they were worried, perhaps, what his body would look like after what it had been through 3 days prior. They were certainly worried, and Mark tells us that they had no idea how they were going to move that tomb. How they were going to move that stone in front of the tomb. But they came out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of responsibility, out of a sense of love, because they wanted to honor Jesus, even if they didn't quite know how. And when I look at how wonderfully full our sanctuary is on Easter, I think a lot of us do things to honor the ones we love that may take us out of our comfort zones. I think some of us might be here because we are honoring people we love with our presence here at church today, though it might not feel particularly comfortable for us to be here. It's not a tomb, certainly, but some of us may not feel like we belong here. You might be struggling with whether you belong here or not, or you might have doubts about what Christians believe, those creeds we confess, and have discomfort saying words that don't ring true to your heart. Or maybe you've prayed for something with your whole heart so long without hearing an answer that you've started to doubt that God is real. Or maybe you look at those of us who profess faith in Jesus and realize we're no better than anyone else. We're often accused of being hypocrites, or people think that we need our faith or religion as a crutch to lean on because we're weak people. For many, the church has lost its credibility because of the scandals that just are rife in the church, and our frustration with leaders who aren't acting quickly enough to put a stop to behaviors that should never belong anywhere. We, all of us, want to feel connected to someone who will fight for what's right. And we get sorely disappointed when people don't behave as we expect they should. It's hard when people don't live up to our expectations. And I think that's something that the disciples were experiencing the weekend following Jesus' death. Not only did Jesus not live up to their expectations, he didn't even stay alive. And I think death sometimes feels like the biggest betrayal of all. How could you leave us? And though these women who came to the tomb first on that Easter Sunday morning weren't part of Jesus' named 12, they were Jesus' followers just as surely as James and John and Peter were. In fact, they supported Jesus through all of his years of ministry in ways that we can only imagine, the silent supporters. They, like the other disciples, had sat at Jesus' feet, listened to his teachings, tried to make sense of them, but they hadn't figured out all of the teachings, and that's why they were in mourning this day. And yet, even in their deep grief, in their deep disappointment, in their first days of mourning, they were facing their fears quite bravely, I think, moving through their disappointment and taking action that was available to them to take. They may not have known what to do in the world, but this thing they could do. Sometimes it's really hard to take that one step. Think about the times that you've been afraid. Oh my gosh, fear is legendary in our lives. Maybe you've been afraid of entering into a long-term relationship, especially if you've been in a relationship that's gone sour. It's hard for us to give our hearts away, isn't it? Because we're afraid that we'll be left by someone. That's the risk we have to take. Anytime you hear a young man tell you that he's saving up to buy a really nice engagement ring, I think you ought to hear that as code that he's really not quite ready to commit yet. Or at the other end of the spectrum, there's the fear of moving into some kind of senior housing complex after you've been in your own home for 50 or more years. Your children nudge you because they're kind of worried about your safety and security. They're worried that you're going to be a little lonely at home, that you're going to get isolated. And you tell your children, I don't want to live there with all those old people. That's code. That's code for, oh my gosh, I've lived in this place so long, I don't think I could find my way around another place. I'm not good at meeting new people. I don't know how to make friends. There are so many fears that seem to grow as we age. I think we become even more afraid. But there are fears at every age. There is fear that keeps us in jobs that we hate because we're afraid about the future. What would happen? Or there's fear of going to the doctor's office because, oh my, I might get bad news. And sometimes we wait way, way, way too long. When our world seems to be blowing up around us, it's hard not to be afraid of something or someone or everything and everyone. An art teacher named Charlotte Murphy said that her fifth grade art students are so locked down by fear that when they start her class, they can't even become creative. Fifth graders are 10 years old, and yet already they're afraid that they don't have talent. At 10 years old, they're afraid of the judgment of other people. They're afraid of being laughed at by their peers. They're afraid of getting a bad grade already in fifth grade. And in fifth grade, they're still afraid of disappointing their parents. That fades later on. But in fifth grade, they don't want to disappoint their parents. And fear paralyzes fifth graders, so they cannot do anything. Fear paralyzes us, just like it did these women on that first Easter Sunday. What a horrible way to end something that's supposed to be good news. These women were told that the tomb was empty because Jesus had been raised. And if they'd been listening, they would have heard the young man say, "And he's going before you to Galilee. He's going to catch up with you there." And yet they went out, Mark says, and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's such a horrible ending to the story that two other writers tried to patch it up years after Mark had written it. If you want to see what I'm talking about, take one of the Bibles home with you and read those other endings. Elizabeth Gilbert, a woman some of you might know because she wrote that wonderful book, Eat, Pray, Love. She makes a living by writing. And she wrote about fear in a newer book that she wrote about the creative process. It's called Big Magic. She says that she and fear have a talking to, and it goes something like this. "Dearest fear, creativity and I are about to go on a road trip together. I understand that you'll be joining us because you always do. I acknowledge that you believe you have an important job to do in my life, and that you can take your job, and that you take your job seriously. Apparently, your job is to induce complete panic whenever I'm about to do anything interesting. And may I say, you are superb at your job. So by all means, keep doing your job if you feel you must. But I will also be doing my job on this road trip, which is to work hard and stay focused. I recognize and respect that you are a part of this family, and so I will never exclude you from our activities. But still, your suggestions will never be followed. You're allowed to have a seat and you're allowed to have a voice, but you are not allowed to have a vote. You're not allowed to touch the roadmaps. You're not allowed to suggest detours. You're not allowed to fiddle with the temperature. Dude, you're not even allowed to touch the radio. But above all else, my dear old familiar friend, you are absolutely forbidden to drive. Fear will never take you to a good place, ever. If those women had paid attention to fear, this world would be a lot worse off than it is today. But those women didn't remain silent because they did encounter the risen Jesus, because he was true to his word. He went before them to Galilee and met them there. And when they encountered their risen Lord, they knew they no longer had anything to be afraid of, because if death had been overcome, well, what else in the world was there to be afraid of? We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of our questions and our doubts. Jesus is going ahead of us to pave the way. It's okay to lean into our doubt, to ask our questions, to seek understanding of the things that don't make sense to us, and grow into a faith that suits who we are with our whole heart, soul, body, and our minds. God gave us an intellect for a purpose. And so it's okay to question, because we might grow. We might actually even change. We don't have to be afraid of love. Jesus showed us that when we love, we can get left. But that's not a reason to not love. And we don't have to be afraid about the future, no matter where it takes us. God's got it in God's hands, and those are the hands, friends, that moved that enormous gravestone. Those are the hands, friends, that raised Jesus from the dead. And I'd say that's good enough reason for me not to ever, ever let fear get in the driver's seat. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.